I want to hear it.
Not right now.
Yes, now, Dusty Bun.
Shit. Turn around. Look at what you see in her face, the mirror of your dreams.
Make believe I'm everywhere, giving in the light. Written on the pages is the answer to a never-ending story.
All right, guys, welcome back to Binge Worthy, where we are breaking down TV shows one episode at a time. And today we're talking about the finale of Stranger Things Season 3.
Woo-hoo.
Today I'm joined with Matt Butler again returning and Devin Harris.
Hello there.
And we are excited to talk about this finale, which we all had mixed feelings about. Well, mainly me. The other two loved it. But we are just ready to dive in to this episode. All I'm going to say is the Dustin and Susie harmonizing was the best part of this episode. Anyways, so this episode, instead of talking about the different teams, we're just going to talk about everyone in chronological order because they all meet together in the beginning of this episode, which always happens. Yep. And I love that moment every season.
Star Course.
So the first thing that we see is Eleven is trying to get the worm or whatever that thing is out of her leg.
Mm-hmm.
Parasite.
Basically like a little parasite.
My favorite thing was Jonathan and how he gets the knife and all of a sudden he's like an experienced surgeon and knows exactly what he's doing.
I mean, really,
what else were they going to do?
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
But okay, one squabble I have with that is they literally slice open her leg and then she pulls it out. But then, like, you never see them bandage it. And if you have a wound that big on your leg, you're going to bleed out and die. And then they're walking back. They're escaping Star Court. And Max is like, oh my gosh, you're bleeding. And I'm just like, what the heck? Then we get the debriefing between the whole team. And this is my favorite part of, like, almost any season. Mm-hmm. Like, first season, it happened. Second season, it happens in the buyer's house when they all meet up and they're talking about how to stop the mind flare.
Yeah.
And then this season, same thing happens. And I just love it every time.
It feels like a big group project, like done right. Like you each go off and do your separate things and come back and join to this one bigger goal with, which is.
And you all have different side stories.
Yeah. There's different side stories, subplots throughout the whole thing. I like it a lot.
What I loved about it is that like half of them knew about the Russians, the other half just knew about what the shadow monster was doing, the mind flare.
And we finally get the party reunion we've been waiting for with the boys and Dustin.
Yeah, that was a nice
scene. Pretty emotional, yeah. I loved that. Anyways, so then after that, we get our new teams, which is Jim, Joyce, and Detective Murray, which are going to destroy the gate, which I thought was a little similar to last season. But we'll talk about that a little later. I just thought it was a little redundant. Yeah. Actually, we can just talk about it now. Since it's going
to
be fast.
There are a lot of similarities from season 2 to season 3.
I thought the finale of this episode was very similar to the finale of season 2 with little things making it more unique. Like the whole thing with Billy was very unique. There were some other things. Like obviously the sacrifices of Hopper.
Flayed. The flayed was pretty original, I think.
But at the end of the day, it was kind of the same thing in respect to having to shut the gate in just amount of time.
Same story beats that they did.
Which I was hoping for something else. I was hoping for something new. And one of my biggest squabbles this season was that we never even saw the Upside Down. But I mean
I'm okay with that because we've explored the Upside Down. That was all of season 1 and then
Season 2, it was a lot, especially since remember the tunnels and everything.
Yeah.
I think that's this season the Duffer Brothers took it to. They saw everything that they did a lot of in the first two seasons. Like that's why Will's not a big predominant figure in this season because he was the main plot point in 1 and 2.
Right.
Yeah. He's
besides L1, but
they never gave him superpowers.
He's the plot drive for the first two seasons.
Right.
So the Duffer brothers saw that and they needed to take a step back away from Will and then bring in Billy, well, they brought in Billy last season, but I feel like Billy played the Will's role in a way.
Yeah. Because, yeah. He did it great. I loved him.
Last season, he was just a side antagonist. Not even till like the very end. He's more of like kind of an obstacle.
Yeah, more of an obstacle.
I would say he was more of an obstacle.
Not really an antagonist. Yep. This, he just went full on antagonist because the mind. Yeah.
And I said it one of our other episodes is that he totally stole the show for me. In this season,
he was
like,
so good.
He was so good. I love that actor. That was great casting. Oh, I forgot. I can't remember his name off the top of my bat.
Off
top of the guy in Power Rangers.
Montgomery.
I can't. Yeah,
DeGray Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Yeah. And yeah, he was in Power Rangers.
Great casting.
Which I saw some concept art with him as a young Logan, a young Wolverine.
Oh,
how do we feel about that, boys?
Dude, I can see that.
Side note, that would be really cool.
That would look really dope.
Oh, I could see it. He's got the hair for it. He's got the hair.
Yeah. So those were some similarities with season two that we saw personally.
And there are a little bit more that I'll talk about as we keep going. So as we keep going down this episode, I love how Dustin and Erica went up to Cerebro to communicate to everyone, give them a little. He's like the man in the chair.
Yeah.
And the code name they made for Detective Murray was Bald Eagle.
Bald Eagle.
Do you copy? I love that.
That was funny. Yeah, so once they meet up, they were like, all right, here's your missions.
I don't know if it was just me paying attention for Easter eggs, but throughout this whole season, we found so many.
Yeah.
I think that it had a little bit more, like the Terminator vibe and all these different things.
There was a lot of vibes going around.
So the attack on Starcourt from the Mind Flayer was pretty intense. Those tentacles, bro. What did that remind you of? Those tentacles.
It kind of reminds me, just very, very small. It reminds me of like, you know, in the Xenomorph, the alien, or the thing that pops out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He has like a second mouth.
Yeah.
That type thing.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of several other things that I'm trying to like the Kraken. But I wouldn't say the Kraken.
It kind of reminded me of the Matrix a little bit towards the end when they attack the ship and then it's kind of ripping it open.
Yeah.
And then it has like little tentacles that go inside.
I also kind of got an alien vibe when Elle got the thing removed from her leg.
Oh, yeah. It started crawling away.
Like the chest burst.
Yeah, heavy. It looked exactly like the chest burst soon.
Then Steve saves the day with the car. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Gotta
love Steve.
When that happened, we were watching this with my mom, and she just wanted to join in with us. And she was like, oh my gosh, Steve and Nancy should get back together. We're like, I don't know. Do you guys see a potential for Steve and Nancy?
No.
No, I think they kind of like pushed it away as much as I would want that now, especially since Jonathan's gone.
I know.
Yeah. But I think with already establishing the Jonathan and Nancy relationship, even with Jonathan being away, it will come back.
And he just
I think he fully got over Nancy by the end of this season.
Oh,
like, actually,
oh yeah.
I think like throughout this season, he still wasn't fully over Nancy.
Whoa.
Until the very end.
I kind of feel that vibe. All right. And then we get a great song by Susie and Dustin when he's trying to contact her to help with the passcode because she is the only person who knows. What is it? The equation for some planet?
I can't remember, but Alexi said that this mathematical equation was the key to get a door open into the lab.
Yeah.
And
for some reason, it wasn't working. They must have forgotten it or
Murray,
something.
Murray got the equation wrong.
He got the equation wrong. But we get a heartwarming song because if you're Susie, why would you want to help Dustin if he hasn't contacted you all summer? Of course, you need a song.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I've heard some people saying that song was just unnecessary. I thought it was. I love that scene
much. What it is it's slapstick humor. It cheapens a moment, but in Stranger Things, they do a nice job of tying comedy in with the intense moments. Like they sing that song. And it's just supposed to be some comedic little moment. And as they're doing that, the mind flayer's chasing the kids in the car. It's just like,
and you
it's
see the,
such a weird combination of
it was so
music
funny.
And an epic scene. I loved it, personally.
I think it's necessary in like things like this. I think I hate when things take itself way too seriously.
Yeah.
And I love how in this season, It was nowhere near that. Like, there was always comic relief.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yet, it's funny how lighthearted the season was, but yet how dark it was, too, because this is definitely has been the most, like, graphic season that is.
Oh, easily.
The most gory, too, honestly.
Anyways, we see Billy kidnap Eleven. They had a little rematch. Eleven lost because she possibly lost her powers. We don't know. We assume she did.
I think it's a Spider-Man 2 type thing. Ooh. She temporarily lost her powers. Because the next season, because yes, there's most likely going to be season 4.
Yeah.
Because this is Stranger Things.
Let's hash this out now.
The biggest TV shows right now ever.
Okay.
So yeah, I think the next season, it's gonna be about Eleven regaining her powers. And then by like the last final two episodes, she'll finally get it back in a huge epic moment. It's going to be so cool.
The only reason I think that this is it is because, actually two reasons. We've never seen a Netflix original go past 3 seasons. And also because they split up the kids for really no reason. Like, it was an emotional moment when the buyers move away with Eleven.
Yeah.
But, like, I just felt like it's all for nothing. Like, why are you moving away? Like, the conflict's over.
They see that they don't have stuff. We'll get to that.
They don't have anything tied there. They have all their friends. I don't know.
Well, there's two reasons for that. One, if you were in a place and crap like this happens, like, every time they thought it was over, it was never
something
over.
Else.
Something came back, like, the year later or a few months later. So, I don't really blame them for leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see what you're saying, because they kind of are like one big family all together, because they've all experienced this together. Yeah. But I think also in like a TV show point of view, I think it was something to like have some change, because then you'll have a divide, because I wouldn't say half the group, but a lot of the group is moving to Maine now,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of them are staying in Hawkins. So there's now and if there will be a season 4, there's going to be a season 4.
Well, here's go ahead.
Sorry. Then there's going to be this whole thing where, you know, stuff happens in Hawkins. They need help. They come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they're going to be hesitant because they're in Maine now. They're trying to forget the past.
The only thing about that is, like, if they do that, I'm not really going to care about the Jonathan, Will, and Eleven storyline, because they're kind of my least favorite characters.
Eleven's
cool, but like, I mean, you guys said it yourself, like, the whole Eleven storyline in season 2 is boring. So,
I mean, I that was just for me personally.
That was just a storyline, but I still love Eleven's character.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. So, moving on down, the Devil's Baby Rockets save the day and attacking the Mind Flayer, all the kids.
Oh, that was sweet.
That was a cool little moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Drago versus Rocky Part 2. Where Hopper comes out on top.
Against the Russian spy.
Which is very impressive. Because you realize this guy's like a Russian assassin. And he's just a cop.
Yeah. So his face, the Russian guy, we still don't know his name. His face got smashed into the drill. And then he's like, fine. So in that moment, I was like, he has to be a Terminator. He has to be a robot. But
I think it might have been
got a big gash.
I think it was his shoulder, because Hopper, like pushed his finger deep into his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he was like screaming, like wincing in pain. So I think it was his shoulder.
Yeah. So then Hopper comes on top. And then we get a really good scene between Eleven and Billy, where Eleven talks to Billy through his memories and gets inside his head. And he's able to overcome and push the Mind Flayer out. And we get that epic scene where he bites the dust.
Well, I think we're skipping how she was talking about the 7 feet. And that brought back a memory of his mom, which that memory alone,
I think, was his last memory that he was still kind of tied with Billy. Because besides that, he looked like pretty much all gone.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? And I'm not, well, I'll say BVS later, but it reminded me of X-Men First Class when Charles is teaching Magneto how to like use his powers without being upset.
Oh,
and he remembers his happy memory with his mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, you could tie this back to BVS. Like, if you guys don't like the BVS Martha scene,
oh my God.
Mm.
I'm just going to say this once, then you have to not like this. Because both scenes are sparking an emotional feeling. So therefore, both those feelings cause the antagonist, which was Batman and then Billy, to like stumble and like catch their breath and really think about what's happening. So it's the exact same type of thing. It's the PTSD thing. It's remembering something in your past, which is turning your motives.
Yeah. I think at that point, you really felt for Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
He just holds it back and then gets, like, stabbed. Like,
he gets, like, five or six times.
Six times, yeah.
And then we get the scene when Joyce closes or blows up the gate and Hopper bites the dust. Which, here's the thing. Why didn't Hopper run back inside?
I think it was because the grates, it looked like the electrical field or whatever had taken control of like the stairs
there
or whatever.
No reason. There was no
that's
reason
the only thing of. That I could think
like,
of.
Like in that moment where he's just looking at Joyce and she's going to turn the key and he's like, just do it. He could have easily ran inside.
I think it's because...
wasn't that far. I don't know. I thought it was kind of
like... I guess
like,
he didn't want to risk it, or there was something behind that where they the doors have to be shut whenever the machine's on.
I just felt that he didn't have to die, which he most likely isn't dead.
Because he's most likely not dead. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this goes along with like a lot of TV shows. If they don't really show the death, then they're most likely not dead.
Yeah.
If it's like a cutaway or it's kind of like where it could be interpreted, well, I don't know, then usually they're still alive. And with a big, huge character like Hopper, vaporized.
I don't think he would go out like that. Well, not saying that his death wasn't admirable in a way. I mean, I personally was like, he sacrificed himself to keep the spy off of Joyce because the spy, like, right when we went in, he, like, threw Joyce up against the control panel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, going into this, I knew he was going to die.
So, yeah, because you got that spoiled for you.
So, like,
you?
I thought it was going to be some really emotional moment.
That's somewhat spoiled.
And when, like, he died by just some, like, not running back and just sitting there, I was like, wow, that wasn't that cool. Like, I thought he was going to take a bullet for Joyce. Or, like, do something, and Eleven watches him die.
I kind of had the mindset, if Hopper goes, he's going to come back. So it wasn't as, like, you know.
Except, I've said this, I wasn't really attached to him this season. I loved his character first and second season. This season, I felt like, I know you guys are going to laugh at me, I felt like he was yelling at Joyce the whole time, and he couldn't even do his mission, which was get into the gate, and he had to rely on a 15-year-old girl. He just felt like he did get crap done when he beat up the mayor and then got information. That was pretty much it, though.
Well, yeah, because they figured out what they were doing at StarCorp. Then he had to go. Then he literally took one of the Russian guys, Alexei.
Rip.
Alexei.
And then translated that, figure out what they were doing, and then had to go back.
Yeah. Then, so after all the conflict comes down, they close the gate. The U.S. troops finally arrive with the main lab guy from last season.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the one that Paul Reiser plays.
Mm-hmm. So then the U.S. troops finally arrive. And we see an emotional moment between Joyce and Eleven.
Yeah.
And it gives us 3 months later.
Steve and Robin are working at a video store now.
Yeah.
Steve's very underqualified. One of the biggest parts of this last little scene is the kids moving. And it's the buyers plus 11 because Joyce took 11 in after Hopper's, quotation marks, death. And it was a very emotional moment, especially when Hopper or when 11 reads the letter that Hopper wrote.
Because
he added on to what Joyce told him to say, which is really good, really heartfelt.
Personally, me, I'm going to be honest, I felt a little emotional when Hopper actually like died, but not that much because they didn't show him dying, but when Billy died, he had that moment with Max where he was like, "I'm sorry," right before he died.
Yeah,
and like that was emotional. But when he was reading
Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker redemption,
But when he was reading the letter, it like that pulled. I'm not gonna lie, I had two tears that rolled down my face.
Even though I knew Hopper's still most likely alive somehow.
It was just so emotional.
I was like, that letter was the one that got me in this episode.
I wish, like, season two, we got a lot of the Hopper. That's where we really saw Hopper as a father figure. Season two.
Yeah.
Season three, kind of the beginning, but I don't know. It was an emotional moment, man. Mm-hmm. And then so the kid, they're moving away, and I already talked about how I feel like they didn't have to move away. I thought that was a little plot force. Like they're just trying to get to a certain point in this story, and I felt like that was kind of an unnecessary reason. Like, why would you leave your family? Because they're all family. Well, I mean, they're trying. I know we know where they're trying to get rid of their past memories, but
I think story wise, it's like kind of like the next step, so that they can do something completely different for season four.
They were already planning on moving though at the end of last season with Bob.
Because remember, she was already like selling the house. Yeah, she found out like episode 3.
Yeah, it was early, so that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
So then it ends with the Heroes song. They bring that back. And the last time we heard that song by, I think, Peter Gabriel was the scene when Joyce runs out of the house in season 1, which when Will says, run. And then she hugs, Jonathan in the middle of the street. And that's also the same episode you find out that Will was dead, but it was just a fake. That was that's still such an emotional scene. I think they tied that in perfect, and those emotions translated perfectly from that season and that moment right back to here. And
I like that.
That was such a perfect song choice.
Redoing that song again, that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And then it just ends, and we get an end scene,
which actually, which is really cool that they did. Because usually with, like, you know, Netflix now, you know, it skips to the next thing or it's just done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like how it's slowly, you see the, you know, the upside down dandruff floating in the air.
But it's really just Russia, which is kind of cool. You think it's the upside down, but it's just Russia.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And we find out in this that Hopper or the American is held captive. We don't know.
Yeah, we're not sure yet. It could be the doctor.
It could be Dr. It's either Dr. Brenner or Hopper. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
I think it's most likely Hopper.
Yeah.
He came out on the other side of the gate.
But they did tease Brenner being alive in season 2, but most likely Hopper. And this is literally my favorite moment in the entire episode, if it counts, is seeing the Demogorgon. But it looks like a demidog at first. They're like, oh no. And then it starts standing up.
That was so cool.
That was really cool. Like the biggest fan service moment for me, because in season 2, I was like, I want to see a dog stand up. I want to see it. But we never got
just
it.
Just a random dog. Yeah. You just want to see a random dog stand up.
Well, no, because we all know that their full evolution was.
Now I just picture like a dog slowly standing up.
We know that their full evolution was the Demogorgon. And the Demogorgon creeped me out so much in season 1. I loved it.
I love the Demogorgon. I love the way it looks. I love all the monsters in Stranger Things.
Oh yeah.
Demogorgon, Demodogs.
Demogorgon's my favorite.
The big fleshy mind flare.
Mind flare.
But they did tease the Demogorgon earlier when Erica is in the Russian base with Dustin. She's like, how big do you say the Demogorgon was? And I was like, no way. If they're gonna bring this back, and then they finally did in the end scene. So good.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, do you think that the Demogorgon's gonna play a bigger role in season 4 season 4
100%
but in what aspect?
I think it's gonna break out of the facility easily,
or Russians try to use it.
How is the Demogorgon stuck there? Because remember, it's a dimension hopper.
Exactly,
it jumps to the dimension.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But they could have closed the gate and then had enough time to catch it.
True So it does that mean?
Because I think they were like waiting on the other side. Because remember in the very beginning of season 3 when they're trying to open that portal, it could have like spontaneously opened, especially after they closed it in the Hawkins side.
Yeah.
So it could have come out along with Hopper.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Speculations for season 4.
Oh yeah.
But yeah,
I think
I'm really interested in where they would take season 4, like
because
season 3, you know, the central thing, the Starcar Mall, there's kind of like a whole central theme, 4th of July. I wonder where they would go with season 4, which kind of makes me really excited about it.
They have, I
don't know what they it'd be a completely new thing.
Not gonna lie, they set it up pretty well if they do a season 4.
Yeah,
which most likely they will.
It's Netflix's biggest moneymaker, let's be honest.
How could they not? This thing is huge.
They'd be shooting themselves in the foot by not
And the Duffer Brothers originally said 5 seasons would be perfect.
Yeah.
So, and I think 5 seasons is perfect. I think that's just enough story.
Yeah.
Yep.
So anyways, let's move on to the award ceremony. Our final award ceremony of Stranger Things 3. And we're giving the MVP of the episode 2.
Billy.
And he totally deserved it.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Dude, that scene though, when all the tentacles are inside him and he's just like on the ground with his arms spread open, was such a cool shot.
Really cool.
And the CGI in this season was amazing.
Oh my god, the CGI was phenomenal. Because
their budget got amped up by a lot.
They have movie budget, movie budget, right. Honestly.
And just like that scene where he's about to die and then the Mind Flayer shoves the last tentacle in his chest, I was like, this looks so real. This looks like something you see in the theater, you know?
Yeah.
Nowadays. But
I think
Billy clutched it up.
Billy was a huge part of the season. I love how I'm kind of sad that his story ended because they could have gone a different angle with Billy possibly going into next season yeah. 5 if they make one.
I think I liked how he died though.
But I did like how he died.
Because if they kept him alive, I think he would have been too similar to Steve. Like an antagonist that turned into a good guy.
Yeah.
Because we already have Steve, and I love Steve. So I don't really want a Steve 2.
Yeah.
And so Billy was, for his purpose, he was perfect.
Yeah, Billy was the number one MVP. I think other people played big roles, but no one as well as
Billy. Probably had one of the biggest moments.
Billy's, it was, All right, so the apex of the episode, we discussed it, and we think it's going to be when Joyce closed that gate. Yep. Except there were a lot of crazy moments in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's hard to pick.
There was the attack on StarCourt, Dustin's song with Susie.
Oh my god. The Demogorgon.
Which is easily my favorite part of this episode. And then obviously closing the gate, which was emotional. And I think it was a little similar to last season, how the whole point is to close the gate, but it had a different twist, which I enjoyed.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Some callbacks of the episode we had. So in this episode, Dustin's telling Hopper how to get into the Russian facility because they've already been there. And it's like this really confusing thing. And Hopper's like, what? It's very similar to season 2 when Bob's explaining to
Hopper
how to pull out the power grid again in the Hawkins facility.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a cool little thing I noticed. Those were two similar little scenes in the climax of the season finale. Yeah.
And then another callback that we saw was when Eleven was digging through the trash and she found the Coke can and she put it up trying to crush it, basically, like she was doing in the facility.
Like in season 1.
And They even showed that.
So many flashbacks.
Except with New Coke.
New Coke brand.
Gotta love New Coke.
And she wasn't able to crush it. Rip. So yeah, that's when you find out she lost her powers. That's pretty epic. Then some pop culture Easter eggs we found was, we can just go down the list. I'll start. So alien callback to the leg. We already talked about that.
Joyce making the date like Steve and Peggy in Captain America, how they were.
Yeah, that's
always
what I was thinking. Yeah.
Right when because I knew Hopper was going to die. So when Joyce was talking about going on a date, I was like, this is just like Captain America. When they're like about when they're going to get together, when they know.
Are they ever going to have Enzos?
I literally leaned over to Clint and then whispered, we should go dancing.
That gave me a huge vibe of the ending to Captain America First Avenger. You want to hit us with the third Easter egg?
Oh, the Russian base siren sounds like the Death Star siren. Yeah, it did sound very, very Death Star siren. And, or like a Russian submarine. If you ever heard like submarine sirens, they're very similar. Mm-hmm.
And if you guys also are paying attention, it's very similar to our fandom rant spoiler warning.
Yeah, I think they took that from us.
Mm-hmm. And then the next little Easter egg that we found was, I had said it before with Christine, the scene with the car, the headlights turn on, you see Billy in the car. It's,
which is just like how
the guy was in the car.
So
yep.
Intense and he's like sweating. And
yep,
he's
in the car with the lights blaring. I thought that was a really cool little scene.
And our final Easter egg of the episode is King Kong. Believe it or not, but the scene when the Mind Flayer hops up on StarCourt and is kind of like on top of the building. Yeah. It looks very similar to like King Kong and the Empire State.
Yeah, I feel like every big monster kind of has like that King Kong moment where they're standing on top of something and have this epic shot and this being StarCourt Mall.
The entire time the Mind Flayer is out there, I'm just like, This is just flesh and bones. That's just like, it's yeah. so interesting.
It is really gross.
It's an interesting concept.
I like that.
All right. Well, is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about before we close out?
I don't
think. Final thoughts?
Final thoughts on the season three
finale.
I loved it.
It's going to be a season four.
There's going to be season four. Yeah. I loved season three finale.
Not show finale.
Season three finale, I loved it. I personally like how it ended in with an allusion to season four.
Yeah. I think it was fantastic. I think overall, it's just a TV show. It's just Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. It's not this massive Star Wars story. You can't expect much from it. So I mean, I enjoyed it.
I actually had a really, because this Stranger Things almost feels like to me like three different movies already. It just feels like a long movie. It doesn't really feel like a TV show.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I really enjoyed season three. I'm not entirely sure if I like it better than season two or one. I think they're all pretty tied for me because they all have really good aspects about them that make each season unique. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know. I think they're all about even for me.
Yeah. I'd say this is my favorite season just because I had a lot of fun watching it. So. Yeah,
it was an entertaining season.
Yeah.
Definitely had some problems.
Well, I mean, I think it does. A good season. I think there were some flaws to it that we did catch, but it's, like you said at the end of the day, it's a TV show. It's Stranger Things, and it's something that we all love, and we're going to continue to love, hopefully, into next season.
I'm excited. All right, guys, this was a fantastic episode. Stay tuned for our next binge-worthy series, which is undetermined yet.
Yep.
But we will announce it soon.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, stay tuned.